Good morning.
Good morning.
Walnut Grove. Oops. Give me some room up in here. I may get happy. He's throwing stuff. I don't want that to happen. Cool. It's good to see you guys. I just got out of prison. For the first time in lacking 3 weeks, it's been 3 years since we've had a Sunday sermon at Walnut Grove. I mean, this is the, which prison am I in? Avery Mitchell, thanks, babe. You have my permission to correct me at any time, like you do at home. So, I love her. Yeah, had a packed house, it was good. Brother Kurt was there, he sends his condolences. He had a, going somewhere else, not in Spruce Pine, he's going, I think, to Burnsville to be with somebody in church this morning. Keep us in prayer for that situation. There's some things that are arising now that we are back in. We don't know when we'll get back in again. It may not be, they said in November, here it is almost March. So the men are hungry. It's amazing to see how many men showed up and how hungry they were. My guitar player didn't show up. We got a really good guitar player, and he really likes playing guitar in prison. And he's got a little Epiphone. It's a really nice guitar, and he didn't show up this morning, and I'm not sure why, because they called him twice and he didn't make it. But we had a gentleman sitting on the second row that filled in a cappella, and it was amazing. And we had worship, and it was just, I talked about grace and how good God is. And it was just an amazing time. And the enemy definitely doesn't want us there. He definitely has taken hold of as much as he can take hold of. But I serve a God that's greater. And I just want you to keep us in prayer. This morning we're going to be going back into James chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to start. Probably going to make some people scratch their heads this morning. I scratch mine all week. Trying to bring this message. I'm only going to be reading two verses this morning. And I'll just read them and shut up. Starting in James chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scriptures say without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit that he has calls to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. How many watched the Super Bowl? Come on. I did. How many watched the Super Bowl? How many saw the commercial, or has been on TV much longer than the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl played it a couple times, the organization called He Gets Us? Okay. For the ones that hadn't seen the Super Bowl, I forgive you. It's a great game. It was kind of boring in the first half, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. But they did go into overtime in the fourth quarter, and it got really good. So, and I didn't care who won, because the Ravens didn't make it. So, anyhow. Who knows where I'm going with this? Who has a feeling? Okay. For the ones that didn't watch the Super Bowl, there was a commercial that came on. And it showed different people washing different people's feet. It showed some people on the margins of society getting their feet washed. It showed some people standing outside of an abortion clinic. You had to pick it up. I had to watch it several times. Getting their feet washed. It showed a gender-confused person getting his feet washed on the beach by a priest, or at least looked like a priest. The moment that commercial finished, I went to their website and I looked into it a little bit further. And I want to be real careful this morning, because we do serve a God that loves us. He loves the gender confused. He loves the young lady that was either coming in or going out of an abortion clinic. I'm not doubting God's love. The message that bothered me, and I don't know if it bothered, maybe I'm the only one. No, it's not true, because I looked online, social media is making a big deal of it. The Christian community was bothered by that because it showed no repentance. It showed no change. It showed no repentance or regeneration. And I don't think that was their message. I'll give them a pass on that. But the backdrops that they were using was troublesome for me. I think where we're at as a church in the United States today, currently, is very much the same church that was in Nazi Germany when Hitler took the regime. We're in a church right now, one, don't know the difference between biblical correctness, and we're more concerned about hurting someone's feelings. And that's not our point. We're supposed to do whatever we do, we're supposed to do in love. But we have to be very careful, because we are in the last days. Follow me around and I'll prove it to you. Today, Kurt and I came a hair with him getting kicked out of Avery Mitchell because of something I said. They're monitoring what we say in prison. We can't have the freedom to preach the gospel. Now, is that going to stop me from preaching the gospel? No. And when God's ready for me to step out and go on to something else, that will happen. They don't have control of that. They think they do. But the message is short this morning. That we live in a time where right and wrong are going to look so close together. If we're not prayed up and read up, we're not going to notice it.
May I make a comment?
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet.
For those of you that did see the commercial and those that didn't see the commercial, it was a very moving and emotional
expression
of people getting their feet washed by a stranger or a family member or a friend.
Yes. It was.
With that being said.
Yes. But Christianity demands more than nice being nice. We are to be nice. We are to be loving. But we also have to identify what's going on in our culture. The church has taken a back seat about confronting sin. And there's a right way and a wrong way. But what James was telling the church in Jerusalem at this time, and the letters that were going into Asia Minor, is that God is a jealous God. He's using terminology of adulterer and adulteress as the wording from the Old Testament, from the prophets, because God looked at the Hebrew nation as his bride. So when they went into adultery, they were worshiping foreign gods. And that broke his heart. Even while he was supplying the manna from heaven to feed them and keeping a protection about them as they journeyed through this wilderness for 40 years back and forth, lost where they could have done it in a couple weeks, he kept his hand upon them. And he kept reminding them time and time and time again to forsake these foreign gods, because I'm a jealous God. So in the New Testament church, in the New Covenant church, we are brides of Christ. The church is looked at as a bride. And he is jealous. of us. He wants us to be 100% sold out to Him. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be in prayer. He wants us to read the Word. And James is telling us this. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy with God." That bothers me, folks. I mean, I got a problem with that. They didn't ask me. They should have contacted me before they wrote this. James should have like, whoa. What do you mean? How do we unfold that? How can I be a loving Christian and forsake the world? That's who we're sent to evangelize. That's who we're sent to witness to. What do we do with that? There's a lot in the world that's beautiful. God said Genesis 1:31, God saw that what He had made was very good. Evening came, and then morning on the sixth day. When He started this world, it was perfect. Everything was good. But the Bible is equally clear about the world systems that are taking control of our country and how that grieves His heart. He Gets Us is an atheist-run organization. It's run by atheists, non-believing people. They throw the name Jesus all over everything they do. They're a multi-million dollar corporation of the Antichrist. I liked it until it was over. Then the Holy Spirit pricked my heart. I wish He hadn't have, because I don't see anything in my flesh wrong with washing someone's feet. Although Christ washed the disciples' feet, He didn't really tell us to go out and wash a bunch of people. Say, how many of you here have been to a foot washing? Oh, we got some Pentecostals. Oh, yeah. I've been to many of them. I grew up, it's kind of funny when you went to a foot wash and you washed your feet before you went. Like your grandmama always told you, you get in a wreck, better make sure you got clean drawers on. I guarantee you, if I got in a wreck, it wouldn't matter if they started clean or not, but you know. And she used to tell me that all the time. Be careful. Yeah. It showed them washing feet. And it showed them washing the marginal folks' feet. And I thought that was so cool. And I was hoping they were going to go on to say, repent and change. Because hell is real, folks. And half the church is going to end up there and they're not even going to know why they got there. That's what Jesus tells us. Depart from me. I didn't know you. Man, we got to get this right. It's not hard to figure it out because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Will make us aware of that. I was watching the Super Bowl. I wasn't thinking about anything spiritual. Then all of a sudden, whoa, what's that? What did I just see? You know, every once in a while you'll watch a commercial and you'll see a same-sex couple and you don't realize until after you watch the commercial. You'll see little hints of that. And I'm not picking on any particular sin, because my sin's great too. But if we notice that, the world is infiltrating the church in such a way that we won't say anything about it. The church didn't say anything about Hitler. And Hitler was teaching a perverted Christian gospel. He was a reformist. And if we're not careful in this country, we'll be doing the same thing. And that's what I wanted to tell you this morning. I wish that James would have just not wrote so strongly, because it's troublesome for me. James 4, verse 5 says, "Or do you think that the Scriptures say without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit that he has caused to dwell in us?" He is talking about a jealousy that is a jealousy of love. It's not a jealousy of hatred. It's not a jealousy of being mean to people. It's not a jealousy of, like we would think of, being jealous of our boyfriend or girlfriend. He has put the Holy Spirit in us, and He wants to dwell with us because He's put that Spirit in us. And he wants to commune with us. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, "You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of the fathers for their fathers' sin to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Verse 6 goes on to say, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. To the third generation, he says that if he curses us, he could, you know, in the Old Testament, Exodus, he was saying to the third generation, "I will curse your children." Is that what's happening to the church in the United States today? Are we under God's curse or are we under God's blessing? Do we think we're under God's blessing and we're really under God's curse? But if you keep his commandments and you don't worship foreign gods, and you think, well, that's kind of a weird way to look at it, Bob. How we don't worship idols. Oh, really? Really? I've worshipped idols all my life. Amazon Prime. I spend more time on Amazon Prime than I do in the Word of God. Really? That little brown truck pulls up, man, I'm all giddy, I run out. Not every night, but a lot of nights. Oh, really? Shut up, man. I can feel it. I can feel it. But no, it's like something to think about, folks. I'm not trying to be a legalist here this morning. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. I just, this week brought out so much of that to me. Deuteronomy 32:16 says, they provoked his jealousy with different gods. Little g. They enraged him with detestable practices. James points out in verse 5 that God observes our adulterous love for the world, and he is jealous for our soul. Don't play at this. It's not to be toyed with. Because Christ will tell you, he tells us in Matthew, many will come to me in the last days and said, I went to church every Sunday. I paid my tithes every Sunday. I never missed a service. I prayed for the sick. I laid hands on the sick. I cast out demons. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. That's the only reason I'm standing here, folks. I'm not standing here to make this church a big church. I'm not standing here to make, you know, Avery Mitchell Prison a big service. I'm standing here to tell the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how important it is to get this right and how easy it is to get this right. This is not a difficult thing. This is not a puzzle. It's not hidden in a matrix. It's quite simple. He wants us to be 100% his. He wants to die. Wants us to die in our flesh. I got a long way to go. And I need your help in that journey. We need each other's help in that journey. As James says, we don't show prejudice to one another. We don't talk about one another. We don't do the things that were going on in the first church in Jerusalem. If we see a brother down, we don't say, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, boy ain't right. We need to give him a hand up. I've been in the gutter. I know how that feels. Give him a hand up. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and 7. James is demanding, he actually uses Proverbs 3:34, reminding his readers that God opposes the proud and those who refuse James' message and gives grace to the humble, those who accept James' message. But James is demanding the church to return to their first love. What's our first love, church? What's my first love? Think about it this week. What's your first love? That's what he wants. He wants your first love. He don't want your second or third or fourth. He's a jealous God. He's planted the Holy Spirit in us, the third. head of the third Godhead, the person of the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he says. And he's jealous for that relationship. Revelations 2, 1 through 7. There's always another one of those passages of Scripture that's always bothered me. I'll read it. Right to Jesus is talking to John on the Isle of Patmos and giving him the revelation. He says, write to the angels of the church of Ephesus. Paul spent a lot of time in Ephesus. It was a prosperous country and a prosperous city. Thus says the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. He said, I know your works. You labor. Your labor and your endurance. And then you cannot tolerate evil people. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. And you have found them to be liars. I know that you have preserved and endured hardships in the sake of my name and have not grown weary. So he's admonishing them. He's telling them, you've done a good job. You did good. You've done some really good things, Walnut Grove. You've done some really good things. But he goes on to say, I have this against you. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the work that you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. Yet you do have this. You have hated the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat with me on the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Verse 5 says, remember then how far you have fallen. The problem with the church today is we don't think we've fallen. We think we're doing it right. Think we got this because we come to church once in a while. If nothing else, more pressing. And that ain't got nothing to do with being a Christian, to be honest with you. I know a lot of folks that are working in the ministry never get to darken the door of a church. He asks us to repent and do the works that we did at first. And he said, otherwise I will come to you and I will lock your doors. That's what he's saying. When he removes the candlestick, he's going to lock the doors. Folks, in the next 10 years, we're going to see doors locked in Avery and Mitchell County at a record number. I don't want it to be this church. I don't. I want us to get back to our first love. I'm not where I should be, by no means. And it breaks my heart. I pray every morning, God, forgive me for who I am. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm a long ways from where I want to be. I'll be glad when we're done, James. I'll be honest with you, because James is so transparent. But if I'm going to be your shepherd, and you're going to be my flock, then we're going to return to our first love, and that's Jesus Christ. We're going to worship. You know, I had the opportunity this past week to go to Gouges Creek Baptist Church on Wednesday night. Little old church back on Thomas Road. Some of you may know where I'm talking about. One or two of you may have come from there. I don't know. Mary, did you come from there? No. Glenn, did you? Seriously? Really? That's what's wrong with that place. Now, I was invited there by the young man that came in with Clara and him and his wife a couple weeks ago. Brad Hughes reached out to me and said, I'd like for you to come see my church. And I said, okay. And as it got on to that day of going, I said, man, I wonder what I can come up with that I don't want to go. Because it was 7 o'clock at night. And I didn't feel like going, you know. But I'd always told him I would. How many people have been to this little church out on Gooch's Creek Baptist? Okay, we got a few of you. Yeah. How many of the people related to everybody goes there? I love it. So I walked in the door. There was 2 people in the building when I walked in. It was about, wasn't quite 7 o'clock. It was about 6:30 because I wanted to make sure I got there just before dark. Make sure there wasn't any zombies. I was way back, man. I was, you know, Thomas Road. I didn't know what, you know, I didn't want to make sure there wasn't anybody there going to get me. I was armed and dangerous. Well, I was armed. I don't know about dangerous. But I was armed. And, yeah, I walked in there and pretty soon that place started filling up. And it was all people in their 20s and 30s and 40s. Place was full of young people. And I said, I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, where do these people come from? You know, Brad came up and started talking with me. And it just blessed me to be there. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it they had the whole front of the thing had a drum set, electric drums, and keyboard, and 2 guitars, a bass guitar player, 3 people singing vocals. And they sang, and they worshiped, and they raised their hands. And I know we're not Baptists. I'm not going to throw that on you. I'm not sure they're Baptists. That was more like a Pentecostal meeting on Wednesday night. But it blessed my heart. But what really was weird about it is that half the guys in there had newbies on boggins, you know. And they weren't dressed in their finest. Matter of fact, most of them just come from work. Some of them still had their uniforms on from places that they worked. You could tell they just left work. But I was impressed by the sincerity of their worship. I was impressed. They just didn't sing a song. They got in, they worshiped. And folks, I miss that. I've been coming here since October. And I miss it. Because where I come from, they know what worship is. Now, if you folks know what worship is, you need to ask for forgiveness. If you don't know what worship is, I give you a pass. Because I'm inviting them. We're going to have ourselves a worship service, and I want you all to come. And you don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to do anything that you're not comfortable doing. But I want to experience my first love. My first love is Jesus Christ. And I want to worship Him. Not just in voice, not just talking to you guys. I want to see you guys worship. And I know it's different. I get that. But He longs for that. He's a jealous God. He's asking us to join Him in worship as He worships in front of the throne, as the 10,000 angels are worshiping nonstop. We certainly can worship for 10 or 15 minutes. We got to get back to our first love. We got to figure, if you don't know what your first love is, you got to figure out what your first love is. And I know that you folks love Jesus. I know you do. It's just been like this so long that you don't know any different. I'm sorry. There's so much more. There's a deep end of the pool. You may have to pull me out from time to time because I may go under. But that's okay. I want to go into the deep end. I want to get it all. I want to have everything God has for me. Lacking nothing. Not so I can be a good speaker. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. You can find somebody else to stand up here. So I can get to know my Jesus. That's the thing. Friendship with the world. What do we do with our non-saved neighbors, our gay neighbors? You love them. You love them. He's not saying that you can't have association with the world. As a matter of fact, he was accused of doing the very thing, eating with sinners and tax collectors and the such. But they weren't influencing him. He was influencing them. I want enough of the Holy Spirit in me that when my gay neighbors walk by, I can shake their hands. I can hug them. I can tell them how much I love them. And I can invite them to church. And hopefully someday we'll have a whole church full of people like that. It's not that I'm against that. Don't take this out of context. But I love them enough to tell them that they do need to repent, because hell is real. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to spend eternity there. I don't want that for nobody. None of my friends, none of my neighbors, none of the people that live on my street that come into this church. So pray with me this week, folks. Remember, ask God for discernment. Ask God for wisdom. God, show me that. If there's something I need to see, if there's something I need to hear, make it obvious. It's not a message of hate. It's a message of true love. If it wasn't a message of love, you wouldn't tell them. It's an awesome responsibility. Sometimes it's scary. There's some people I don't like to witness to. I have a real problem with it. I ask God to give me courage, because I lack that time to time. It's easy to stand up here and talk to y'all. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for James. We thank you for your word. We even thank you that you told us that we're an adulterous generation, an adulterous people, Lord, because not that you're finding fault with us, Lord, not that you're saying that we're having illicit affairs, but we are, because we're not loving you first. And we're not loving you in truth. And we're not making you the supreme, Father. Help me not just add you to my week. Help me to get up in the morning, Lord, and seek your face. I want to hear from you, Father. I want my people to hear from you. I want my jails and my prisons to hear from you. And Father, I want you to return soon. And I want to lay my crowns at your feet. And I thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.